just a devotional, I call it. Doesn't develop it much, but goes into it enough to stir our thinking. One God, one God. This is sort of the theme of Israel, and especially after the Babylonian captivity. After they had been released from that and came back, they were never again, do we read their history, that they went off into idolatry. Now, today, and certainly at the time of Christ, we find that they were not following God. They were following an idol of a different kind. They had turned their religion into an idol because here the Christ was put right with them, right in front of them, and they chose to reject him to keep their leadership in Israel. And a sad commentary that Christ himself would be right there. But Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And this is the byword. This was the Shema was on the doorpost, and they would touch it. Had a scroll with this and some of the other verses in it. So this great verse has been recited countless times through the centuries by these Israelites, setting forth their distinctive belief in one great creator God. All around them were the polytheistic people, the people with multiple gods and indefinite gods and horrible gods and mean-spirited gods and so on that they believed in, because man tends to invent their false gods after the image of themselves. So the Jews had retained their original belief in creation. That, of course, had been handed down from Noah, while the other nations had all allowed their original monotheistic creationism to degenerate into a wide variety of religions, all basically equivalent to the polytheistic evolutionism of early Sumerians at Babel. The Babel, they were trying to raise a tower so large that the people would not move out. God's plan after the flood, as it was at the beginning of creation, but God's plan was for them to fill the earth. This gives man a sense of that, the joy of exploration, the braving the dangers to see what else is just over the hill, what's out there, where can we go after this, and what resources can we find over there. But they tried to keep them all there. But along with the strong assertions of monotheism, there's also a very real suggestion from this verse that this declaration with its thrice named subject is also setting forth the triune God. Let's look at this. The name Lord, of course, is Yahweh. In our King James, they capitalize the word that actually is the Hebrew word for Jehovah, Yahweh, the way it's pronounced in the Hebrew. And this is the covenant name. This is the self-existing one. This is the one that Yahweh comes from, the term I am. And so he is the one who is, the one who is self-existing. He doesn't depend for his existence on anyone else, because before creation, he was the only one. So he was nobody to depend on. So God is Elohim. This is the word for being the powerful one. Elohim is a plural. It is sometimes actually used of the pagan gods, and it's translated plural. But this is a plural that in itself, and foolish men talking about this, they say, well, this comes from an early time in Israel when they believed in multiple gods. Israel began with one God. and always believed in that one God until they departed from him to find other gods. No, Elohim actually refers to the plurality, because there's, in Hebrew, there's the singular, there's the dual, which is two, and then there's the plural, which is three or more. And this is the plural, the I am. We see it in cherub and then cherubim. That's the plural. Seraph, seraphim, or phim. And the so this is the powerful creator ruler. So Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. This is that proclamation. Many respected Jewish commentators said the verse spoke of a unified oneness. Interesting concept, because here, Lord and Elohim, Jehovah and Elohim used together, yet claiming that he is one. This is rather than an absolute oneness. Absolute oneness means there's just one grain of sand, one apple, one thing. But this is one collection. This is unified oneness. So, the Zohar, interesting name, written in the Second Temple period, 539 to BC to 70 AD, said that the first mention was of the Father, the second, Elohim, of the Messiah, and the third, of the Holy Spirit. And identifying then, very early on, the Trinity. The key word one is Strong's number 259, and it looks like that. You're reading from the right to the left. So the Aleph first is the Ech, then the He in the middle has this Ch sound, and then the D, the Daleth, is the, it's a Dad. So it's Echad. Echad. And it was often used to denote unity in diversity. Let me give you a couple of examples. We see that when Eve was united to Adam in marriage, they were said to be one, echad, flesh. Genesis 2:24. Where therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be one flesh. So they're not going to be a unity. I mean, they're not going to be a singularity. They're going to be a unity, the two together as one. Also, in the third day of creation, the waters were gathered together into one place. And yet, the gathering together was called, the plural word, seas. Therefore, more than one sea. So, Genesis 1, 9 and 10, God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. So evidently, as they came in to different indentations on the land, they were called various seas, but they were one. They were gathered together. God saw that it was good. So thus, Israel, great declaration that we were looking at, can really be understood as saying this, in effect, God, the Jehovah, the transcendent God, Elohim, who's the creator and sustainer of all things, is one, is a unified transcendent God. So this one verse seems to carry at least the hint of this meaning, a pretty powerful concept. Transcendent God, the one who is I am. What makes that transcendent is that you say, well, where are you? And he says, I am. Where, when are you? I am. You see. What do you rule over? I am. You see. And so I continue to exist is the idea. Wherever, whenever, and he's beyond all limitation. and so transcendent, God.